Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. I guess during the last service, I have a tendency that my voice trails off. So if people in the back have a difficulty hearing me or something, throw something at me, okay? And don't worry, I'm used to it. I learned a lot in cafeteria duty for a seventh grade classroom. So, I learned that you can't hit a moving target. That's why I like the walking mics. And I wish I would have known that in Vietnam. I might not have got hit three times. But I'm trying to take a few minutes to get myself together. I don't hear the citation very often. I certainly don't read it. But when I do hear it, I hear more than the words. I still hear screams, explosions. And it takes me a couple minutes to get myself so that I can start to talk a little bit. So maybe I'll try a different topic here for a second. It's good to be back, Loomis. As Pastor Rich said, it's my third time. And I know it's only been three times, but take a look. Do you notice anything different? No? No, I don't have any more hair. My mustache is not longer. I haven't lost or gained any weight, even though I'm trying. No, what's different? This is the look of retired. Yep. 33 years in middle school classrooms. Vietnam was great training for that. I think I've said it here, but I say it all the time, that as I'm getting around, I'm developing more and more connections with the different Department of Defenses, and I'm still trying to get them to, before they send anybody off for deployment, that they ought to spend 2 weeks in the seventh grade classroom. You know, if they can do that, they can survive any kind of a battle. Yep. But this is the look of retirement. And since I've been retired, I've been retired in June. Since I've been retired, it's just added to my perception and belief that I've been blessed beyond measure. Amen. I cannot believe the opportunities, the places, the people that I have been blessed with. To be able to go and to speak at so many different places on a variety of topics, service, duty, sacrifice, or just come and talk. You know, they don't care. Since June, I've had the privilege of going down to Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, spending 2 weeks with the 2,500 multi-service troops, multi-task force troops, Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, 2,500 of them are in Guantanamo Bay. A 45 square mile base. You get to know each other pretty well with only 45 square miles to roam in. I've had a chance to go to Israel to speak with the Israeli forces and to share with them. And later in a few minutes, I'll share some personal things that I learned from them. But each time I'm asked to go and talk, I'm overwhelmed. Partly because it never gets easier to talk, to share. Sometimes they ask me to talk about some things that in the past I've tried to forget, you know. Like any of us that have been in war, we know that war changes us. Changes who you feel you are, what you believe in. why you do what you do. It challenges everything that is who you are. If war challenged who I was, like many that returned from Vietnam, my homecoming destroyed who I was. The wounds I received in Vietnam were nothing compared to the wounds I received on my own streets. That's why I'm in awe. Now, to be able to have an opportunity to share and to speak. I'm in awe of how our country has rallied around our latest group of men and women who love this country.
Amen.
But on my return, and like as many that returned, wasn't such a good time. And since I've been here and spoken before, many of you know that in my attempts to try to deal with what happened in Vietnam, because I was changed, in my attempts to try to put some meaning to the chaos that had become my life, I went up to northern New Hampshire and lived in a cave for 2 years. So when I find myself in front of business leaders, politicians, people such as yourselves, talking about my life, I'm amazed considering where I came from. Who would have thought that, 40 years from when I lived in a cave, that I would be speaking around the world? God is good. But I sought that comfort and that solitude and that safety of the cave because I was trying to put some meaning, as I said, to everything that happened to me. Like I said, I knew that I was different. Like everyone that goes to war, I knew that I was changed. To try to help me, I often thought about a saying that I learned in Vietnam because I thought it might help me put into words what was going on inside of me. And that saying was, to really live, you must almost die. To really live, you got to almost die. Because to those that fight for it, life has a meaning that the protected will never know. To those that fight for it, life has a meaning, a very special meaning. And for those 2 years, I tried to sort through everything that happened to me. I sought the counsel of God. God, help me understand what just happened to me. Help me put some meaning back to this so that I can go on with my life. For 2 years, that was my prayer in that cave. I remember in September of 1973, I said, God, you gave me life back in that hospital bed in Vietnam. So right now, today, where I am, right in this middle of this cave, I give everything that I am back to you. Whatever you want, whatever you have, that's all I want for my life. Because I had nothing when you entered my life. And all I have now is you, and that's all I want. September 1973, I prayed that prayer. I remember the time because 2 weeks later, I received a phone call telling me I was being awarded the Medal of Honor. 2 weeks after I said, God, whatever you want, I want. 2 weeks, he then said, okay, Gary, here. I quickly went to the Bible because I was back in chaos again. I just was brought to my mind things that I've been trying to forget for 2 years. And I came across the verse, Psalm 49, verse 20. And it's one that I often use when I share about what the Medal of Honor means to me and about trying to put meaning back into my life after war. But that verse says that man that's in honor but understands not is like a beast that perishes. Man that's in honor, man that's been blessed, man who has received things which he doesn't deserve, but doesn't understand any of that, is like a beast that perishes. So taking that verse, I began to pray, okay, God, you've given me this honor. Now teach me. Life has a meaning that the protected will never know. Teach me about life, God. Teach me what meaning my life can have. Teach me about this new honor that you've given me. What does it mean? Why have you given it to me? What do you want me to do? Well, I began to quickly learn through the teaching of God, through His Word, and through the fellowship of other Medal of Honor recipients. When I first joined the Society back in 1973, after I received the medal, I put the medal in my duffel bag and went back into the cave. I never attended a Medal of Honor event until 1980 because I didn't feel worthy. But during that time, I had other recipients that would contact me, mail me letters, ask me how I'm doing, letting me know that they understood and they cared and they wanted to help me deal with what comes with this honor. And so they helped me learn some very important things about this medal and the honor that comes with it. You see, I learned very quickly that this medal is not about me. It's not about what I have done. It's not about any one act on any one day that any one person does. The honor that comes from this medal is that this medal is greater than one act by one person on any one day. The honor that comes from this medal comes from the fact that we are allowed to wear and to care for and to hold in trust something that symbolizes and says to everyone who sees it that this country was built upon the sacrifice and service of countless men and women who have loved this country more than their own lives. Amen. This medal says to all who see it, it's not about me. This medal is about that World War II vet that you might see at Wegmans. You guys don't have a Wegmans here. McDonald's, or at the mall early in the morning drinking coffee, sitting around with his friends, remembering special moments as they served together in Europe or North Africa or the Pacific. This medal is not about me. It's about those thousands of men who didn't even make it to the beach on D-Day. This medal is not about me. It's about those Korean and Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who weekly make trips to the VA to help them deal with the effects of war. No, this medal is not about me. And I've learned that. It's about that 18-year-old who just finished basic training and he can't wait to go home and show his family and his friends how he looks in his uniform. Yeah. That's what this medal's about. It's about those Gold Star family mothers and fathers and families who have sacrificed. It's about those Blue Star families who miss their loved ones because they are serving and protecting us even today. Some very, very special men have taught me that when this medal is worn, there's no room for self. No room for self at all. It's not worn for me. It's worn for every man and woman who's ever worn the uniform of the United States military. It's worn for all those on D-Day who never made it to shore.
Amen. Amen.
It's worn for all those who in the 101st and 82nd Airborne never made it to the ground, but were shot in the air.
Yeah.
It's worn for all the thousands of others who through the years and the wars and the ages have given all that they are so that we could have all that we have. There's no room for self when we wear this medal. It's worn for that man and woman that you see in the airport hugging their family goodbye as they're off to Iraq or Afghanistan for their fourth, fifth deployment. I was on a Fort Bragg a couple weeks ago, and my escort was an E-8, Master Sergeant, Special Forces, 3rd Special Forces Group. We got talking about his 23 years in the military. I said, so has it been fun? He goes, yeah. I wouldn't change it. What have you done? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go over for my 15th deployment to Afghanistan. 23 years, 15 deployments. He spent more time away from his family than he has with him. This medal is worn for everyone who has spent lonely nights wondering if anyone remembers and hoping that no one forget what they've done in those overseas. I've come to understand that the honor that comes with this Medal of Honor comes because we are allowed to wear something that doesn't belong to us. It belongs to everyone who's valued freedom. Sammy Davis, the Medal of Honor recipient, when he speaks, he shares that once a person came up and said, can I touch it? He said, of course you can. It's yours. If you choose not to touch it, it means it lessens the value of it. The medal is worn for each and every person who has loved this country and has lived in this country. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the countless others who never survived the battle but were never recognized because no one else survived it to tell about their acts of heroism or their acts of selfless service. This medal is worn for all those unknown. I've come to understand that the honor that comes from this Medal of Honor comes because we are allowed to wear something that symbolizes what lives in the hearts and in the minds and in the spirit of everyone that loves this country. It symbolizes what chokes me up so that I can't finish the Star Spangled Banner. It symbolizes what causes us to tear when we hear taps played. This medal symbolizes so much, and some would call that patriotism. There's another symbol of patriotism, and that's our flag. Amen. And I often use this quote because I think it's very powerful about this flag and how symbols can represent patriotism and the sacrifices that comes with the freedom that we enjoy. The quote says that the American flag, as you see it flying in the wind and waving, it does not fly because the wind moves past it. The American flag flies from the last breath of each and every military member who has died protecting it. That's what causes that flag to wave in the winds. The last dying breath of every man and woman who has died to protect what we have. The honor that comes with this Medal of Honor comes because we wear something that symbolizes that same thing, that same spirit, that same sacrifice. But on a more personal level, I said that it symbolizes patriotism. And someone once said that patriotism flows from the heart of a warrior. I've tried to speak from my heart today. But as I'm speaking, I'd be untruthful to myself if I didn't share what else this medal means to me. I've tried as best I could to share what I've learned about duty, about sacrifice, about patriotism. But on a more personal level, this medal, when I wear it, signifies and means something much more than that. Truly, this medal is not about me, nor about what I've done. But when I wear this medal, above all else, I wear it from Him. I wear it from my God.
Amen.
Because I know that without His grace, I would not be here to tell my story. And you see, my story is really His story. Because without His grace, I would never have survived those battles in Vietnam. Without His love and forgiveness and healing from guilt and anger and pain, I would not have survived the trauma and the aftermath of war. I would still be in that cave without His love and His forgiveness. Without His strength and without His faithfulness, I would not be able to have survived the many battles that I faced during these last 40 years. Many of you know my wife is a cancer survivor. Those were some of the worst battles. God, take me, spare her. Nothing worse than feeling helpless in a battle. But God's strength and His faithfulness saw us through those battles too. Without His love and forgiveness in my life, I would not have been able to live with myself or with others these past 40 years. So when I wear this medal, more than anything else, I wear it for His honor. And I've learned that He gave this to me for opportunities such as this, to share what I've come to understand about honor, to share what I've come to understand about life. And I've tried as best I could to articulate what I've learned in these past 40 years about the honor that comes with this. But all of us who have received this medal also believe another thing, that there's not only honor that comes with this award, but there comes a charge. And that charge to each of us is to never let anyone forget those who have served.
Amen.
Down at Fort Bragg, a soldier spoke and he said, "The greatest casualty of war, you know what that is? It's not a TBI, it's not a gut wound, it's not amputation. The greatest tragedy of war is to be forgotten." Those of us who wear the medal have a charge to wherever we go, whenever we speak, whoever we speak to, never let anyone forget that our freedom comes with a precious price.
Yes. Amen.
Wherever we go, whenever we speak, whoever we speak to, it comes with a charge that says, always honor those who have served. Always honor and remember and be grateful for those who have sacrificed and have given so much for what we have in this country. And it also comes with another charge. And that's wherever we go, whenever we speak, whoever we speak to, we have an obligation, a burning passion that is within each one of us to exhort and encourage everyone that we speak to let them know that within each of you, each of us has the ability to go above and beyond what we think we can.
Amen.
Each of us can do tremendous things. It's often said that the Medal of Honor recipients are just ordinary people, and we really are. But they're just ordinary people who've done extraordinary things. Tom Brokaw has called those World War II veterans the greatest generation. And we just remembered D-Day. But many of the World War II vets that I know would also say, I'm just an ordinary guy who rose to the occasion when my country called.
Amen.
And said,
Amen.
And said, we need you. Ordinary people who rise to the occasion and can do extraordinary things. You don't think those men, when they were hitting the beaches before the landing, the doors went down, you think they were all sitting in there doing high fives with each other and saying, yeah, we're superheroes, we're going to do all these great things? I don't think so. They're ordinary people feeling ordinary things, dealing with their ordinary weaknesses and fears. But they felt something else that helped them overcome that. They knew and could feel something rising up inside of them that said, my country needs me. I'm called. I've got a duty. If I don't do this, who will? Ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Our history is filled with stories of ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. And today, our nation continues to face challenges within and without. So we do encourage and exhort everyone. Look inside and find that spirit. Find what beats in your heart and in your mind and in your soul and in your spirit. Because you too can do something extraordinary. I mentioned that I had gone to Israel. And we spent 12 days touring Israel with the military. We had 8 special forces, Israeli special forces guys that were our security. We felt pretty safe wherever we went. I got to be friends with one, Yuri. I still keep in touch with him through Facebook and email and stuff. He's a master sergeant in the Israeli Defense Forces. And I got talking. He saw the Medal of Honor and he knew immediately what it was. And he knew what it represented. And we talked about freedom, caring for something more than yourself. We talked about the battles of Vietnam, and he asked me why I fought. And I gave him the answer that I had become comfortable giving. Well, for freedom, you know, democracy, so that others might have that same thing that we enjoy. And I said, Yuri, you've spent a lot of years in the Israeli military. What do you fight for? And he said, oh, I fight the same things. We value the same things. But then he said something that just knocked me over. He said, but with me it's different, Gary. He said, you see, I fight for something else too. I fight for my home. He said, do you know that I've fought battles 15 miles from my home and my family? 15 miles from my home and my family. So I fight for them. I'm thinking about all that and thinking how blessed we are.
Amen.
How blessed we are as Americans. That's not meaning that 9/11 or Pearl Harbor were not devastating to us. But we have been blessed by the grace of God. But thinking about that, I said, Yuri, tell me, does Israel send troops to other countries? And he laughed. He said, why would we do that? We have enough troubles here. And as I thought about that, I started to think about our own servicemen and women, those who serve. And I did some research. And do you know that the United States sends military personnel to over 150 countries in the United States? 150 countries. And do you know why? Because we're a light for freedom.
Yes.
Because they look to us as a beacon of democracy. They look to us and they desire the freedom that we have. And as I thought about that, I got a new appreciation for those who serve. There is no other country whose people are willing to go to across the world to defend their freedoms, to fight for their right to be free. There is no other country in the nation that sends its troops everywhere like that. Yeah, our nation faces challenges, but we are blessed.
Yes, we are.
And those of us in the society feel that charge that we need to encourage and exhort men and women, young people, whenever we can. We need to exhort them to begin to realize, to wake up and to realize that we as Americans, our nation, our communities, our children, the next generation, it needs what each of us have living in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. To those who have fought for it, life has a meaning the protected will never know. Those of you who have fought, who have sacrificed, who have risked and have given above and beyond, you know something about life. Our communities need to know what you know. Our young people need to hear what you have to say is in your heart. That's why I go out and I speak, regardless of the tears that I still feel whenever I say some of these things. America needs to hear this. Our nation needs to hear it. Our communities, our schools. They need to hear that in each one of you is something special that this country needs. Because in each one of us lives something that has kept our country free and strong all these years. Our nation, our communities, our young people need to hear about courage.
Yes.
They need to hear about a sense of duty. They need to hear about our ability to love one another more than yourself. They need to hear about our desire to serve and to care for others, regardless of the cost. They need to hear about our steadfast commitment and our allegiance to the truths and the freedoms that have made this country free. Our nation, our communities, our young people need to hear that within each one of them is the capability to rise up when their country calls so that they can defend and support and protect this nation against any that would destroy her. This is our charge, to exhort and to encourage. And each of us willingly go and share because of what the medal means. I want to close with one more quote. And I first heard this quote given by Sal Junta, who's a Medal of Honor recipient from Afghanistan. He was at a college roundtable discussion, and a college student, to really live, he must almost die. To those that fight for it, life will have a meaning the protected will never know. The protected will never know. and never can know. This college student asks Sal, "Tell me, how do you live with yourself, knowing you've killed people?" Sal was silent for a minute, but he said, "Let me tell you, the true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him. The true soldier fights because he loves what is behind him."
Amen.
That student was silent. I'm not sure why, because I'm not sure they still understood. But anyhow, they were silent. And that's growth, I guess. The true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but he fights because he loves what is behind him. I am honored to be able to come back here to Loomis and share these thoughts with you on your red, white, and blue celebration. To those veterans that are here, thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. I am honored to call you brothers. For those of you from the community and members of Loomis, thank you for your love. Thank you for standing behind our men and women who give so much. Thank you for supporting them. Thank you for standing alongside of them. My prayer is that God will continue to bless this nation. My prayer also is that God will give each of us the realization of what lies within each of us. The realization of what we can do when we look to Him, call upon Him, love Him, trust Him, and love one another. May God give us the realization that each of us has the ability to, who, although only ordinary, can do extraordinary things. Because our nation needs men and women like that. Thank you. May God bless you.